You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Thursday, May 29th. The Washington State Supreme Court will decide the fate of an effort to remove Pacific County Commissioner Lisa Olson from office on September 4th. The recall effort against Olson is being led by a group that calls themselves the Pacific County Recall Rangers, who are aligned with Sheriff Daniel Garcia and his objections to removing the county jail from his office's supervision. The initial recall claim accused Olson and fellow commissioners of violating the Open Public Meetings Act and purposefully concealing issues to avoid public input on the jail decision. Olson's legal team has denied those claims. The court date set for September means it will be difficult for the recall rangers to get the matter on this fall's general election ballot, and it would likely instead go before voters sometime in 2026. The long-awaited reconstruction of the Long Beach Boardwalk will cost nearly $1 million below the city's initial projection. At a meeting last week, the Long Beach City Council unanimously agreed to accept the lowest bid for the project, which came from Woodridge Construction, based in Monroe, Washington. The renovation will see the replacement of all of the boardwalk's decking, railings, and some lighting. The 35-year-old structure will also be raised in some areas, and a stainless steel water fountain will be installed at the south platform. The exact start date for the construction has not yet been determined. These stories come to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. Wakayakum County Sheriff John Mason has officially filed to seek re-election this November. But Mason will face at least one challenger. Earlier this month, Josh Grasseth also filed as a candidate for Wakayakum County Sheriff. Mason has been a member of the Sheriff's Office for more than a decade. He was appointed as sheriff by the Wakayakum Board of County Commissioners last year, following Mark Howey's retirement. Grasseth was a deputy in the department for 6 years until his resignation in 2009. This will be the second time he has run for the office, having previously run against John Dearmore in 2010. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. Read more online at chinookobserver.com. Seismologists have been warning the Pacific Northwest is due to be struck by a major earthquake. This quake will likely produce a tsunami that could strike the Washington-Oregon coast. But new research from the University of Washington finds a major fault known as a megasplay isn't as extensive as previously thought. This fault branches off of the Cascadia subduction zone. Harold Tobin, the director of the Pacific Northwest Seismic Network, says since this fault isn't as big as once believed, some coastal communities may have more time to evacuate before a giant wave strikes.
This makes it a bit more likely that some places will have a little more warning time than some of the worst case scenarios. That's the good news part. The bad news part is that it doesn't mean that the tsunami is necessarily any smaller.
According to a press release from the University of Washington, these findings do not decrease the risk of future earthquakes or tsunamis posed to the region. About 1,200 scientists work in the biological arm of the United States Geological Survey, known as the Ecosystems Mission Area. President Trump's budget would likely eliminate their work nationwide if passed as proposed. Bellamy Palethorpe reports.
5 years ago, University of Washington professor Ed Cloje identified 6-PPD quinone, a chemical in runoff from roads that kills coho salmon almost instantly. It comes from tires.
These types of chemicals, these tire chemicals, are throughout our environment. They're in our bodies.
He's been working with the USGS biologists and their lab to find a safe replacement for 6-PPD.
And it does matter when you have a team of capable, experienced people with unique capabilities to figure out the implications of that, the risks of that, and how to fix that. And the USGS is just a critical part of that team.
They've narrowed the search to 7 replacement chemicals. U.S. Representative Marilyn Strickland, a Democrat from Tacoma, is asking the Trump administration to reconsider dismantling this division. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe reporting.
In the United States, about 4.5 million direct care professionals work with seniors and people with disabilities, according to a nonprofit that tracks those numbers. And that work is happening every day. NWPB's Rachel Sun followed a Lewiston man and one of his caregivers to show the role those professionals play.
When Case Beaner wakes up in the morning, he'll be greeted by his caretakers. They'll help him get dressed, eat breakfast, and put his shoes on. Case, who has cerebral palsy and an intellectual disability, lives in something called a certified family home. There, he and two roommates receive 24-hour care while maintaining as much independence as possible. The people who work with Case are employees at Opportunities Unlimited, a nonprofit that provides programs and direct care services. They take him to physical therapy, doctor's appointments, group activities, and twice a week bring him to his job, where he's given tasks like paper shredding or helping assemble product packages. When I visit, caregiver Melanie Heald is helping Case get ready for work.
What do you like to do with your friends? Do you like to joke with your friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you guys listen to music in the shop too while you're working, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Case's favorite type of music is country.
He hasn't sang Honky Tonk in a while, but Honky Tonk Badonkadonk is like one of his favorite songs. But he says, kissy, kissy, grandma, because we don't slap our grandma, because, you know, that's the lyric. So, yeah.
Case's parents are a big part of his life, but his mother, Stephanie, says her son moving into a home with support from direct care workers has allowed her freedom she didn't have as a full-time caregiver. Previously, Stephanie needed to take Case with her to all of her jobs.
Before, like, I do house cleaning. So, you know, it was jobs, but not anything that was really developing my work world skills. And, like, oh, he would be so bored, I think.
Caretakers like Melanie help with functions of daily living, such as showers and preparing food. But their work doesn't end there. Melanie also helps Case maintain social connections. When we get to Case's work, one of his longtime friends, Corey Berg, is there.
I've been here 25 years. I'm coming on 26 years. I had fun with Keithy. He's around. Like this, you're my favorite friend.
Yeah.
The two share a love for music, which they listen to during their shifts.
Like Prince, Michael Jackson, Cyndi Lauper. Mine is kind of 80s. Keith likes the country.
Through all of this, Melanie is at Case's side. After his shift ends, the two pick out CDs at the thrift store. The need for jobs like hers is expected to grow. The Paraprofessional Healthcare Institute, or PHI, projected the direct care workforce to add just over 860,000 new jobs through 2032.
It wasn't that long ago that they did used to just throw people in facilities and in institutions, and they weren't getting the proper care. So my job is really important to keep people in their homes and not just be put somewhere and forgotten about.
Back home, Melanie helps Case go through his new music before we leave.
You got some country ones.
Oh my! You're crazy.
You're crazy. That's why we're friends, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Her shift for the day is nearing its end, but she'll be back soon. I'm Rachel Sun in Lewiston.
You are listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @kmun.org.